Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Good Wednesday morning, everyone. It is our winter membership drive, last 3 days. Now, Governor Corzine is coming on in just about 30 seconds. But if you haven't pledged yet, how about doing it right now at WNYC.org or on the phone at 1-888-376-WNYC. And don't forget, noon today is the deadline for entering the final MacBook Pro Apple laptop giveaway, courtesy of TechServe. So get in touch now in order to be eligible to win. You don't have to pledge to enter, but we sure hope you will. Thanks a lot for all your support at WNYC.org or 1-888-376-9692. Now, did you watch the speech last night?
This time, CEOs won't be able to use taxpayer money to pad their paychecks or buy fancy drapes or disappear on a private jet. Those days are over.
Well, our first guest today was a Wall Street CEO and now is a guardian of the taxpayers' money as governor of New Jersey, of course. Governor John Corzine, as you probably know, was the leader of Goldman Sachs before getting into government. We have Governor Corzine today, Governor Patterson tomorrow, as attention shifts to the states to dole out money from the stimulus bill. Governor Corzine, we always appreciate your time. Thanks for coming back on.
Thanks for having me, Brian.
First, what a turnaround from your Wall Street days. In those days, the business people were the American icons, and maybe I'm exaggerating, but no one seemed to trust the government. Now Obama is looked to as the savior, and the Wall Street CEOs are dirt. Are you stunned by just the cultural turnaround?
Well, I think some of the mistakes and excesses that have been a part of the Wall Street reality over the last 10 years is stunningly out of place with what the needs of the American people have been, and some have been slow to recognize the need to be disciplined about how they behave in a new world. And so I'm not stunned that people trust Barack Obama. They overwhelmingly supported him as our president in the election, and I think they believe that he's taken strong, timely, necessary steps to try to correct the problems. And, you know, when he speaks out against some of these abuses, I think he's spot on.
And I want to get back.
I don't think everybody behaves that way, but, you know, there's enough that it's undermined the credibility of business executives.
And I want to get back in a few minutes to some of what that means on a policy level. But on the stimulus, how much is New Jersey getting? Do you have a total dollar figure?
Well, we think that between the tax benefits that should accrue to New Jersey citizens and the dollars that will be invested in expended with regard to stabilizing the economy, someplace north of $17 billion. About $9 of that will be in spending, $9 to $10 billion of it will be in spending and investments, and about $7.5 billion will be in taxpayers' tax relief.
And on that $9 or $10 billion in spending, who decides exactly how and where it will be spent in New Jersey? Is that now up to you and the legislature?
Brian, actually, much of how the dollars that will be expended are focused on programs that have been set by the federal government. All of the money, for instance, with regard to Medicaid, goes just exactly into the programs that are already in place. The rules of the road are already established by the federal government, and all they're doing is putting more money through the same system. The same thing actually goes for food stamps and unemployment. They may be changing some of the terms on which someone might receive unemployment benefits, but the program is going to be administered in the same way and really won't require decisions by either the governor or the legislature. Now, when it gets to the investments in roads and bridges and some of the energy-related investments, there will be a screening process that is done through the state, and potentially an appropriations requirement from the legislature. But in general, those programs, just like the ones on unemployment and Medicaid and other issues, are going to actually go through programs that are already in place.
Now, we've got Governor Corzine for about the next 10 minutes, and we've got a question on our website for all of you Garden Staters, which is, what needs stimulus money in your neighborhood? If you get them in real quick, we'll read some to the governor, and then, Governor, maybe you can get someone from your staff later on to go on our webpage and see all of what's posted from around the state. But it's WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Now that $9 or $10 billion of federal spending will be flowing to New Jersey, what is needed in your state? Posted for Governor Corzine. Here's one: electrify the Raritan Valley, New Jersey Transit Line.
Right, that Hassan. Would be a great long-term benefit for the state. We would conserve energy, be more carbon clean if we were to do that. That is a very large project. It would take a long time to get the permitting and the planning in place. And one of the things the president has asked all the governors and did again this week, Monday at the White House, is say, we want these dollars out quickly. So we want shovel ready, which is the term everybody's using, things that are on the shelf and ready to go. He's also telling us that we have to be held accountable and transparent about what we're spending and how we choose the projects. But I don't think that we would be able to do that on a quick basis. That will take a longer term planning process.
Governor, do you have a number? When you crunch the stimulus bill, how many jobs, how quickly in the state of New Jersey?
Well, I think the president's very clear, and I want to be clear to the listeners, it is saving jobs and creating jobs. And on that basis, our estimates are not unsimilar or dissimilar from what the president has put out, about 100,000 jobs in New Jersey. But some of those are saved jobs. For instance, if we don't have layoffs of police officers and firefighters and teachers, well, that would be a saved job, which might otherwise have occurred if there hadn't been stabilization money for some of the state's budgets.
You okay there, Governor?
Yeah, we're okay. I think I have my seatbelt on too, Brian, so, you know, even if I'm not, we'll be okay.
That's good news. Now, Governor Jindal gave the Republican rebuttal to the president last night, and we know that Republican Governor Jindal of Louisiana and a few other Republican governors are actually turning down some of the stimulus money because they say it, particularly with funds for unemployment expansion, because they say it's a new spending mandate for the state, for the state's share. Is that true in New Jersey?
We already meet the conditions for the expansion of unemployment benefits for people who work part-time at least 30 hours a week, and they are able to apply for unemployment. And that's just one of the conditions. In some other states, they don't have they haven't yet reformed their unemployment insurance programs to include those people. They're excluded from it, and so people like Jindal and other governors who want to turn it down are saying we don't want to expand our program. Let me say what President Obama said to the governors on Monday. The fact is that program that they are turning down is $7 billion out of the $787 billion. There's 99% of the program. The governors that are making all this hue and cry about turning down money, they're willing to accept 99% of it, and they're arguing about one little small piece, which many states already have in place, and it really is a diversion away from the whole, and I think is more about politics than it is about getting our economy going, getting our people back to work.
How can New Jersey residents have confidence that federal stimulus money won't go the way of the billions initially earmarked for the state school construction projects, which, as you know, only accomplished a fraction of the projects that it was supposed to complete.
Well, first of all, the school construction program has been completely reformed, got completely new individuals, and I don't think anybody would argue that we aren't efficiently using the resources that we have in place today. If you don't have proper structure and review, and if you don't have an independent controller looking after the fact how money is going to be used, you can get mistakes. So one of the reasons the president appointed a new inspector general to do nothing but focus on how the money is being used. He has required that all of the states meet very stringent transparency and accountability requirements. And I think that when those are in place, government expenditure can be done properly. I have confidence that it can, just as I do with regard to our school construction programs as we go forward now. They were put together in a sloppy format when it was initially put down in previous administrations. One of the things that I have run on is making sure you have an independent controller to review after the fact. We put a chief financial officer in. We changed all of the people, got accounting firms to come in outside to audit. All of those steps need to be put in place just like they should be in good company.
That's an indication, though, of how hard it is, right?
You need a process.
Sue in Montclair asks, can the governor send any of that money for operating costs for schools?
Well, there is a huge element of the president's program that is focused on education. I'd say upwards of 20% is focused on being able to maintain what we have now with regard to operations of schools. Matter of fact, it's much more focused on that than it is on capital investments in schools. What you will see done in school construction in New Jersey is actually on New Jersey's own resources, not resources coming from the federal government. What we're using it as, what is in the president's program is extra help for special needs kids, special education, for some of our schools that have high concentrations of at-risk children, economically moderate or modest income families, and particularly a heavy dose of help for higher education, increasing the Pell Grants from about – Pell Grants are what middle-income and moderate-income families can apply for help in college tuition, going from about $4,500 to $5,300 per student. So there's a lot of operational help both for our school districts and for families. Child tax credit, $2,500 for families for tuition tax credit. So there's a lot of help for education.
And next hour we'll be looking specifically at the education proposals in the president's speech last night. But before you go, Governor, two other quick things, and my guest, Governor John Corzine of New Jersey. As a former chairman of Goldman Sachs, do you look back with any regret on your era's decisions about how much leverage or all the go-go lack of regulation that helped create this mess? Because it was, as the president indicated last night, a long time in the making. And Alan Greenspan, for one, has expressed regrets. Do you have any?
Well, I think you have to look at where the institution that I ran in the 90s was at the time you left and how it performed afterwards. And I don't think that even in current circumstances, Goldman Sachs has been as troubled as most of the institutions, and I think it was in doggone good shape when I left in 1998. It was a long time ago, and if you looked at the leverage ratios, they were a lot higher in 2008 than they were in 1998, dramatically higher. That doesn't mean that there weren't challenges in the 90s or the 80s or other times. And we took We took pride in making sure that we had a culture of discipline and internal controls. Goldman Sachs, which I think many have survived the current circumstance. Yeah. And no private planes that I'm aware of at Goldman Sachs. Certainly weren't when I was there.
All right.
There were pretty frugal commodes, as far as I know, too.
But you ever think
of redoing offices in any extravagant way? Matter of fact, we tried to hold down expenditures so you could improve profits and the ability for the firm to invest in its future.
But you never called up any of, let's say, your Wall Street colleagues, maybe even from other firms in the last few years, and said, "Hey, you guys, 40-1 leverage, are you going nuts?"
Well, I think that my focus has been in the last few years on trying to, first as a United States senator, make sure that we had decent regulatory structure when we had an administration that didn't believe in regulation. It was one of the original co-sponsors and authors of Sarbanes-Oxley, which I continue to believe properly implemented would have done much to push back against some of the excess leverage and better reporting so that shareholders and stock holders would understand what was going on in balance sheets. I think as that further unfolds over a period of time, things would happen. I do believe that we ought to be regulating hedge funds. I think even as early as 1995, I've been arguing for bringing them into the system. 40-1 leverage sounds to me a lot like long-term capital, which was one of the issues that had to be addressed by people who were governing
one of the failures
Wall Street firms
financial
in at the time that I was there.
Scandals,
and everybody understood that excessive leverage can kill you.
We're over time, but 20 seconds. The state Senate passed a medical marijuana legalization bill this week. Will you sign it if it comes to your desk?
Absolutely. I believe that when people are struggling at the end of their lives, dealing with pain, under a doctor's prescription, under a doctor's advice, they ought to take what makes their life most comfortable in that period. And I think we put controls down to make sure that it's not abused.
Governor John Corzine of New Jersey, thank you very much for coming on with us.
Great.
We really appreciate it. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. We follow up tomorrow more on how the states will spend the stimulus money with Governor David Paterson of New York. He will be our first guest tomorrow morning at this time. We have a very special guest coming up next, Charles Delfer. He was the chief weapons inspector in Iraq, and he wrote a book about his experiences now. Stay with us.